I wonder what it would be like to be born in a manger.
Yeah. Wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
What? Wait. So you're saying that the baby Jesus Christmas story is the same as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Wow, I just never really put the two concepts together. Wonder what happened to that guy, huh?
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, there's some time in there, right? I mean, he grew up, he taught people, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and came back to life, and, you know, now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts? Okay, I was really... Oh, wow. Okay, I never really put all those guys together, you know?
Only one guy.
I tell you this. There's an idea. Maybe we stop just making Christmas all just this once a year isolated thing, but we make it an ongoing story about the salvation in our hearts and lives. Up top.
It's the idea.
That's fun. All right. Well, I think what that kind of reveals is the whole, it's a story. It's a whole biography. It's a whole life, but especially it's a whole story. And I like to sit with things like that. I don't know if you've ever just kind of let that sink in, that Christmas is a story, right? It's presented in such a way that is not a textbook. It's not bullet points. Even, you know, the Red Rifle movie, A Christmas Story. We love stories. We tell stories to each other. We need stories to understand each other and ourselves. We live in a world right now in our context, some of the greatest storytellers, right, exist in our media with J.R. Tolkien and the mammoth that is Lord of the Rings and the Chronicles of Narnia and 20 years of Marvel and Star Wars and just these stories that have been told throughout the years. We're in a really fun stretch for me as a parent right now, probably at least 6 months, maybe longer. My kids have asked for a bedtime story every night. I remember my dad telling us stories. I don't remember when it started, but we're in it right now, and it's super fun. And so every night, we used to sing songs. Right now, we tell stories. And so we get all snuggled up, and they ask. And now, these stories have names. They've got titles. It's Chocolate Milk, or Papa and the Burglar Alarm, or Wet Man at Legoland. Like, these are, and that means something. There's a whole thing that goes with it. And that's part of our existence. There's something about introduction and characters and growth and plot and conflict and resolution. All of that comes together and it is powerful to us. It's significant. It's meaningful. Stories are the best tool that we have to teach without feeling like learning. To accomplish something meaningful without feeling like work. Stories are how we tell other people who we are. If you want to share a piece of your heart, if you want to share some of your background, sometimes to connect with somebody, if you're in a new situation, one of the easiest ways is just tell a story, right? We're swapping things that happened to us long ago. We're sharing places that we've been. God tells us who he is through the story of Christmas. He is the God of helping. The Bible's word for that is redeem. And he is the God who does things very backwards. And so I think through these very famous elements of our Christmas story, that God came to earth, not as a king, not as a ruler, not as powerful, but as a baby. And where he chose to live that first season, not in a house, not in a crib, but in a manger. And he came not to Jerusalem, one of the primary cities in the Bible, but he came to Bethlehem, and then after that, settled in Nazareth, two cities that we would not know about except for the Christmas story. And he came not to important people or anybody who had to reach. He came by way of a virgin birth to poor and unmarried parents. I mean, that's a very interesting story. If nothing else, there's stuff in there that makes you go, what? I got to hear the next part. Got to get to that next chapter. Luke chapter 1 lays it out for us, and in the way that God moved through his spirit to Luke. This is not in bullet points for us. This is in the form of a story. In the sixth month, Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now I think about what's in there and what's revealed about God in that moment. Packaged for us in 9 verses in our Bible that even little kids could retell most of that from memory. This is not like trudging your way through the book of Deuteronomy. This is a package for us to be able to remember, to be able to internalize, and what it reveals about the radical reversed character of God. I mean, the difference between that and if God just tried telling people, "Hey, I am gentle. I am humble. You can trust me. I am for you." He could say those things. You can write that in a letter. You can try to convince somebody of that, but it doesn't work at the same level as when God proved it. Through these details, through these events, through these people, he storied it for us. And the radical part about God's story is it's told to us, it's told for us, it's told about us, and ultimately it includes us. There's nobody left out. I think of how often we want to be included. I remember it at different parts in my life, especially the transition out of homeschool and into the school world. And I was trying to figure out how to be included. And some of my most painful memories are those of when I either was or felt like I was not included. We want to belong. And Luke writes this for us just one chapter later in 2, verse 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." For all the people. Good news causing great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then as the rest of the angels come and they're celebrating and praising, and this is what they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." There is peace to come through this story. But before there can be peace on earth, there is another deeper peace that must exist. There has to be peace between you and God. Before there's peace on earth, there's peace between us and our Creator. Our unbelief and God's wrath must be removed. And God made a way for that, and He began that process on that night with the birth of His Son. That is our deepest peace and our deepest need at Christmas. To be made right with the one who made us. The God we learn about through the Christmas story is that God who brings peace. And in response, asks for faith. That is true gift. And that's the true request. That this thing has been done for us. And all we are to do is to marvel, to acknowledge, to accept, to respond, and to worship. We did not initiate this. We did not write this story, but it is for us. And I think about why this is important. Thinking back to those stories that I tell my kids, they learn them, they internalize them, and they know them to the point where if I get the details wrong, either by forgetting what I said one time or just out of laziness and trying to cut the story short, they call me out. They tell me that I'm telling the story wrong. "No, no, no, Dad, it went like this. You know, or you forgot that part." All right, 5 more minutes. Here we go. Those details matter. So for us, are you telling yourself the right story about who God is? Are you telling yourself the true story about who God is? When you are hard on yourself, is that the God of Christmas? The same God who said, "I did not choose out of merit, but I chose out of love." But at the same time, when you think you're doing just fine and I'm just going to go to work and live my life and build a kingdom for myself, is that the God of Christmas? Or the God who said, "These people needed such saving that here I come as a Savior"? And when you believe God doesn't love you, can't forgive you, is that the God of Christmas? I love it. And I think of Romans 8:1, which says, "For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Those details matter. All of those are just the one guy. It's just one God revealed for us at Christmas. Through Jesus, we are set free from sin and death. But what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending His own Son to be a sin offering for us. So this year, as we think about that story, as we think about the characters in the plot and what it reveals about the storyteller, what God wants us to sit with is first to just receive the story. How do you receive that story? Do you have any objections? God calls us to put down our objections and make sure that we have heard the correct details to the story of who he is. And second, to respond. How do we respond to the message of Christmas? To believe, to worship, or to tell? In every instance, as one of the angels comes and gives just another little piece of this story, the recipients are prompted to do something. They either find Jesus and they worship, or they believe that this baby is truly for them, or they go and they get and they tell others. But whatever it is, this story is to us, it is for us, it is about us, and ultimately it is meant for us to take with us wherever we go. How do we respond? What are you going to do? God, this year, we are humbled at the fact that you came. Thank you so much for doing this thing for us. We are astonished that there is one God in the whole universe who came here for us. And there is so much that we need still to learn from that story. God, you are gentle, you are near, you are with us. There is a reality there that as this element of your name, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, that is true. Regardless of what we feel, that is a true reality. You are with us. You are with us whether we feel grief. You are with us whether we feel joy. You are with us whether we acknowledge you're there. You are with us when we can't tell. You are with us when we don't know what that means. You are with us. It's amazing. And God, would you continue in your gentle way to teach us what that means? What do we do with the fact that the creator of the universe, the Almighty, the Savior of the world, is walking the same life right next to us? God, let us both look to you and let us respond in faith and trust, in worship, to pass this story. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for being who you are. Amen.